to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at the first 18 verses here. Well, it's Christmas this week. Are you ready for it, huh? I'm always curious, what happens in your house after Christmas? Seriously, not you. The minute Christmas is over, there's some people who, the following, few days after Christmas, they pack up all their decorations and their lights and everything, and out they go back into the closet, up into the attic or wherever it is. And is that what happens in your place? Or do you sort of linger a while? You know, you kind of let the decorations be there for maybe a week or so. You know, just kind of lingering in there and just kind of, it's a fun time to kind of share some memories and things like that. For some, Christmas is, it's a relief that it's over. Others, it's sort of, I kind of wish we could just kind of be there a little while longer. It's interesting how people respond. I had one person tell me this past week, they said, I just love Christmas. I love the season. I love the birth of Jesus, but I get so stressed out. Different ways people respond. And yet, how would you like it if you could celebrate Christmas every day of the year? Wouldn't that be fun? In fact, it was kind of cute. We had a Christmas program here with the boys and girls of Rancho Community Church Christian School. And that was their theme. They had 365 days of Christmas. And it was interesting, just listening to the little stories. You know, some would say, oh, isn't that great? We'd get presents every day. And we'd have, parties and friends would come over and Christmas cards and so forth. Until finally, of course, they came back with the real meaning and said, we need to be celebrating Christmas every single day of the year, but because of the real reason. I think that's important. I think for a lot of us, or for a lot of people, Christmas is sort of this one-day special, or it's a season of feelings, and then when it's over, we sort of go back to the same old, do the same type of things over and over again, and that's a shame. My prayer this morning is that as we share this message, that you begin to look at Christmas not just as a season or a feeling, that you begin to look at Christmas in the sense of a celebration of an event. An event in history in which God gave the greatest gift of all. And as He gave that gift, man, we can celebrate Christmas every single day of the year because it is a gift that keeps on giving. Keeps on giving. When I think about how to make Christmas last, that's what I want to talk about this morning. How do you make Christmas last? I begin to realize that if Christmas is going to last, three things have to begin to happen in our lives. The way we allow Christmas to last is when it gives us faith, it gives us hope, and it gives us love. We need those three things. And when those three things are becoming a part of our life and our lifestyle, then it's something that'll keep on going. So in our scripture passage, I'd like you to kind of turn with me, and I'll be walking through this particular passage, but the key verses that I want to focus on at this particular point, verse 14 and then also verse 12. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 12 is so beautiful because it says, that yet all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And I when I look at this, how do you make Christmas last? I think of three things that has to happen. For faith, hope, and love to be a part of our lives, three things have to happen. We have to believe its message. We have to receive its meaning. And then we have to achieve its manifestation. Those three things. I want to walk you through that this morning because I hope that Christmas isn't going to be something that just comes and goes and you pack it up and there it is waiting for another whole year. I hope it just flows with you throughout the whole year. If you have your bulletins with you, I have a little outline in there. You might want to follow along with me. But the first thing, what we need to understand is that if we're going to really let Christmas last, we have to believe its message. There's a message that we believe. And basically, as we said in our scripture verse, it basically says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's where it has to start. Now, if that's where it starts, what is it that we believe about this Word that became flesh? Well, let me read the first four verses in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, when you stop and think about this, God came and he made himself known. When I think about what Christmas is all about, the Word became flesh. That means that God did something. That means God communicated. And what that says to us is when God communicated, he gave us a message. And because he gives us a message, point number A here is that it establishes faith in God. Faith. Now, all of us believe in something. We believe what someone has told us about life and living. And frankly, we all live by faith. You can say, well, I live by facts. Well, sure, but you know, these facts, what are the meaning of these facts that we live with? There's a certain faith that we have in terms of what people have shared with us. Now, what we're saying then as Christians is that God communicated. This is what we believe. And we say, well, how can we be so sure? Because the Word became flesh. Well, who is this Word? What is this communication? Well, in the first couple of verses here, it spells it out. In the beginning was the Word. God always had a desire to communicate. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, when you think about a word, what do words do? Words communicate. Words are the manifestation of the person who is doing the speaking. You know, for instance, you know, a lot of times people will chit-chat with me, and I'll be sitting in a restaurant and someone sees my old car. You know, and they'll see the old 40 Ford out there, and you know, and most people size up someone. They'll say, oh, he's a street rod lover, you know, and whatever kind of experience they've had in the past with someone who drove an old car, that's the way they picture you. You know, and so something to think, I've got tattoos all over my arms, you know, and some people look at me in a variety, you know, kind of peculiar way. They think, oh, this guy, he owns an old car. He must be like this. But you know something? I appreciate someone comes to me and asks me about who I am. And I have an opportunity then to share with them by my own words who I am, what I feel, what I think, and then they have a picture of who I really am. Now think about this. We live in a world, and the creation of this world tells us something about the majesty and the power and the greatness of God, but you still don't know who he is and what he's like unless he revealed himself. And that's the good news of Christmas. Because of Christmas, we know there is a God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, and he has made himself known. There was this Word, and the Word became flesh. He spoke to us. So if you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. You want to know what God, how to relate with God in sandals, you know, in shoe leather, you look at Jesus. See, that's what it does for us. Now, what it does for us is it helps us then to shape our faith. Because if you and I live in our lives and we believe there's a God, I say, oh, I have faith in God. Wonderful. Well, what's he like? Is he a mean God? Is he, you know, wrap your knuckles and you know, spank every time you do something wrong? What kind of God is he? God made himself known. And the scripture says that through him all things were made. Nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. He was the light. The life was the light of men. Tells you that this is the God now who created everything, agent of creation, made himself known. And my hope and prayer is what this needs to do for you and for me in daily living. Every, you know, 24 hours of the day, 365 days of the year, that you can know who God is and what he is like. And if it says that God communicated, the Word became flesh, that means you and I can communicate with him in the sense that we can get to know who he is and what he's like and what he desires, what he doesn't desire. You can have a relationship with him. And I hope that is the basis of your faith. But not only that, we find out that there is a God who establishes our faith, we also find out something more, that in terms of this God, he also expects faithfulness. Now let's go a little further. You look at verse 6, it says, there came a man who was sent from God, his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Now, when I think about this, I realize, you know, God has given us the revelation of himself. But that revelation needs to be responded to. So what we find out in history is that not only was this an event, but God made sure that there was a man whom he sent. His name was John, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's purpose was to be a witness to the light, a witness to Jesus. He was to testify about him. He was to share with people that this indeed is the Son of God, who was the promised Messiah, who was promised throughout Jewish history. John was a testimony. Now, what I hope this says to us, if you want your faith, you know, to be something solid in your life, and you want Christmas to be more than just a one-day special, then I hope that you begin to realize that your faith in God also means your faithfulness to God. That you see your purpose and role in life like a John the Baptist. You see, when God created us, he just didn't create us just for our own selves. He created us also as a church body to be a living witness to this Jesus Christ. We're the ones that are supposed to testify. We're the ones that should be able to say, you know something? Jesus is the reason for the season, and this is how he has touched my life. He's made a difference in my life, and I'd love to share him with you. That's our role. Now, isn't it interesting, as you read the Gospel of John, you find here right at the beginning, John gives witness to Jesus, and then by the time you get to the end of the book, chapter 21, you're finding Jesus also sending out his disciples. He said, you know, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. This becomes now our role, our responsibility. We are to bear witness to the living Christ. And I'm hoping that as you think about Christ and your faith, if you're going to have Christmas 365 days of the year, how does the living Christ impact your marriage? How does the living Christ impact your relationships? Does he make a difference? Is he present in your home? Is he there in what you do and what you say and your purpose for life and for living? Is he there? See, that's the key. And I would say to you, man, you know, Christmas is a 365-day joy when you allow that living presence, the Word of God, becoming flesh in your relationships and you're living his presence with each other. So that's the first thing. Believe its message. When you believe its message, you have a faith from which to deal with all the areas of life. Then secondly, we need to receive its meaning. That's also important. Receive its meaning. What makes Christmas last, first of all, is believing its message about God who has communicated. We have a message that establishes faith for living, that gets us started with knowing God. Now, secondly, then, we must receive its meaning. To receive means to take in, to welcome. It is intimate and relational in terms of what it should be. To accept in a tender, loving way. Now, I want you to notice something as you read. I skipped over verse 5, but let me read verse 5 and then jump back to verse 10. But verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then it says in verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Now what this says to us is that if we want Christmas to last, it is not only then believing the message, it's also receiving the meaning. Because when you receive the meaning in terms of who Jesus is and what He's done, you and I now have hope. We need hope. Hope to keep us going. Hope that helps us to work through the problems and struggles of life. Now, with that thought in mind, we have to realize now that the Word became flesh. In other words, it came as light into a dark world. So the first thing we have to recognize is that when we receive its meaning, Christ coming in the world, first of all, exposes our hopelessness. Our hopelessness. You see, apart from God's revelation, apart of God making Himself known, people live in darkness. Darkness. There's a sense of ignorance. It's an amazing thing as you think about all the technology that we have today. The higher institutions, all the, you know, the colleges and universities and all the training and so forth, and we discoveries in science and the vastness of space and so forth. And yet people can live in darkness, which basically means they don't understand. They don't comprehend the hand of God. Now, you know, we have to realize that, because it's kind of a sad thing when, for instance, Psalm 19, you read this psalm, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge." Think about that. You know, you've heard me share this numerous times, and it just fascinates me when I begin to realize that this universe in which we live is so technically balanced that everything is set exactly in its place in space so that life can be here on this planet. Think about it. The way the planets are in their orbit, the way there is gravity and the gravitational pull, the angle of the earth, the way the sun, the distance of the sun from the earth and the moon from the earth and tides and all this kind of thing, everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be in order for life to exist. Amazing, more and more what scientists are saying today, there are people who are saying today we live in a world whose physical structure is exactly what it must be in order for life to exist and to be supported. And they're basically saying that more and more are looking at this and they're saying, you know, you can't say that, you know, it's constantly a progression of life, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. It has to be in place in order for life to actually come about, to be there. The heavens declare the glory of God. People live in darkness. It's amazing. And you know, it's quite something. I had quite an experience here several weeks ago. Many of you noticed I got my old car painted. And in the process of painting the car, you know, they pull out all the lights and everything like that. Well, I was driving home one night, and I came from the ministry center, and just about home, and all of a sudden, something happened. I guess I had a short in one of my lights to put back in when the wires were loose, and the lights went out. Motor still ran, the lights went out. It was dark. It was dark. I turned up my street. You know, I lived just off of Rancho Vista, and I turned off of Ynez. The light was green, so there was light. I got up to my street, and you know something? I couldn't see a thing. I didn't know where to turn in. It was so dark. And, I was going to play a little braille at that point, sort of feel my way home. And lo and behold, here comes a car behind me, and there was light. And I drove up, you know, where we live in that area. And I suddenly began to realize what darkness really is and how important it is to have light. You see, darkness, you live in darkness, and you sort of think the way it should be. I'll tell you, had I turned what I thought I was going to turn, I probably would have played crinkle fender with a tree over there, you know. But you see what happens when you don't see things clearly. That's the way people live. Without God, without hope in the world. A lot of people are living just like that. But what does it say to us? The scripture says to us that because of Christ's coming, it enables our hopefulness. See, verse 5 says to us, it says, the light came into the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, that word can mean one of two things. It did not comprehend it. One thing, the world doesn't understand the things of God. And the second meaning is that the world cannot stop the light from coming in. And I praise God for that. But the fact is that because of light, there is hope. It exposes, you know, light exposes the darkness. In fact, it expels it, but then it enables us to be able to see. I am so grateful for that. When you receive the Christmas word, praise God, you can have hope. Isn't that amazing, though? Look at verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. That's so true even today. People do not recognize who God is. They have no concept that there's more to this world than just naturalism. It all just sort of happened all by itself. There's a God who not only created, but he's involved with his creation. And then the other part is kind of sad as you realize it. Look at verse 11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Isn't that a shame? Realize something about faith. You have to recognize that faith involves three areas in a person. It involves your intellect, it involves your emotions, and it involves your will. I remember talking to a gentleman here just several weeks ago, a young guy, and you know, he's a graduate of a Christian university, he's raised in a Christian home and the whole thing, and yet having all kinds of struggles and problems, his lifestyle would not reflect Christ at all. So in our conversation, you know, I said to him, well, you know, is this an intellectual problem? What is it about Christ and Christianity that you're having a difficult time with? So I shared some books with him to read and so forth, and I began to realize that, you know, things that he was talking about in terms of not accepting or not understanding and so forth really became a smokescreen of something else. Either he was struggling with some damaged emotions. In other words, he saw people who professed to be Christians and were not living the Christian life, and that turned him off. Or maybe he had a bad experience in his life where he prayed to God about something and then God didn't answer it, and you know, someone died. You know, some people have had that kind of experience. And because of that experience, they don't want to believe in God. But the third thing is the will. I began to realize in talking to him that he didn't want to believe in God or have faith in. Why? Because he knew that if he did, God would hold him accountable. He couldn't play his loosey-goosey, unmoral lifestyle. He knew he had to change. So he'd rather deny God, deny the presence of Christ, than realize that he has to change his lifestyle. See? And a lot of people are like that. They don't want to believe in God. They don't want to believe in Jesus. Why? Because they know that if there is a God and they have to acknowledge him, then somewhere along the line, they have to then respond to that God and submit to him. I don't know where you are. Maybe this is some areas in your life where you're struggling. Well, think it through. If you're an honest doubter, you struggle with some things concerning the facts of the faith. Hey, find out what these facts are. Deal with them. If you're honest doubting, praise God. I'd love to discuss with you. Or maybe you have to deal with some areas in your own life where you've been hurt or disappointed. Deal with those areas. Or maybe it's just a fact of your pride. It's a fact of pride. To know that if there is a God, or if there is, you know, Christ is for real, that means, you know, I've got to respond to him his way, not my way. Then it's a dealing with the will. Many will know but will not respond because of those reasons. Now, the other thing here is I begin to realize that it enables our hopefulness when we do respond. Isn't that exciting? Look at verse 12. It says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know what that means to us? See, Christmas is not a one-day special. Christmas is an event. And because of Christ coming into the world, means that we can have a relationship with God. We know that God exists. We know that He communicates. But we can become a part of His family by receiving the gift that God has given us. Now that gives us hope. That gives us hope. How does it give us hope? Well, then we know that if we belong to Him, then no matter what circumstances there are in life, He never abandons us nor leaves us. That gives us hope. We also know that whether we face life or we face death, we belong to Him. And that hope is, when I die, I know I go to be with Him. He prepared a place for me. He's coming again, taking me to myself, that where I am, we may be there together. That's where He is, that's where I will be also. That's His promise. That's what our faith is in Him, because He's revealed Himself, gives us hope. Isn't that exciting? Last thing I want to share with you, how Christmas can really be there for us all, you know, 365 days of the year, we achieve its manifestation. And that last part is so powerful, because we realize that as the Word becomes flesh, it says in verse 14, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We've seen His glory of the only one, of the only from the Father, full of grace and truth. When we realize this, we realize that an event has taken place, and that says to us, we know God loves us. It expresses God's love to us. It's real. An event in history says to us that there is not only a God, but He loves us so much. He doesn't shout at us from the balcony and say, hey, listen, don't do this and don't do that. And no. And it's even a little bit more than just becoming a part of our life. He identified with us. Now, some time ago, I read a story of two psychiatrists in Philadelphia who conducted an experiment. And for 6 months, they literally impersonated being a patient, and they were in this psychiatric hospital in Philadelphia for 6 months, and then came out, you know, and then they wrote this big papers and all the things that they experienced and so forth. Well, the interesting thing is, you know, they came, identified, but they stepped out, and they didn't have to identify with these people anymore. Now, that's not the way Jesus handled it with us. Some people think that's what Jesus did, you know. He was here for 33 years and died on a cross. And then finally, you know, he thought, man, I'm out of here. You know, I'm back to heaven again, back to all the glory. Jesus did something a little bit more than that. In fact, a great deal more. It reminds me of a story about a Father Damien. Father Damien was a Roman Catholic priest who ministered to the leper colony there at Molokai in the Hawaiian Islands. And for years, he ministered to them. And when he would address them, he would say, brothers and sisters, you know, he would address them and so forth. One day, he addressed them. He said, we lepers. He contracted leprosy. And suddenly, his whole relationship with the people changed because he became one of them. Now, we need to understand that this is one of the mysteries that we see in the Scriptures. What the Scripture says to us, that the one who ascended into heaven took with Him His resurrected body. But when we see Jesus in Revelation chapter 5 standing before the throne of God, they saw Him as the Lamb slain. They saw Jesus, the slain one. In other words, He took His resurrection body with Him into heaven. He remains identified with us. And I hope you never lose sight of that, how much God loves you and me. He identified with us to such an extent. But the other part that I think is so exciting is that we realize that God expresses His love to us, but He also, what this message means, that it extends God's love through us. Think about this phrase. The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. Jesus dwelt among us. But you know something? To make Christmas last means that you and I invite Him to come into our life. And that means now He has made His dwelling place in you. In you. The challenge now is to let the love of Christ, as He's come to dwell in you, be the love of Christ, that love flowing through you to touch the lives of other people. This is what the Christmas season really ought to instill into us. That as the Christ child came into the world, to be born into the world, not to be packed up and put back into the closet and waiting for next year for baby Jesus to come out again, but that we see that this child, this Christ child, has come to be born among us so that we believe in Him, receive Him, and then allow Him to let His life grow in and through us. So we too will be able to see the needs of other people. And not just shout at people from the balcony. Not just step in with people once in a while and bounce in and out. But that we are willing to identify with them, drawing them in, allowing them to become a part of the people of God. That's what it's about. Having a whole new heart. A whole new vision in terms of people and relationships. So I asked you, what are you going to do after Christmas? Put all your stuff back in the old closets again and, you know, put the old storybooks back and say, well, we'll wait for next year and talk about Jesus again in terms of his birth and so forth. Or are you going to say, no. Boy, because of Jesus, man, I've got a new faith. I look at life and I begin to realize the world that I live in, my belief system, my faith system has to shape the way I live, the way I look at life and living all around me. And not only that, the meaning of it has to give me hope. When I face my problems, when I face my disappointments, when I face my crisis times and relationship within my family or with people, I have hope. What's my hope? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. My hope is in the Lord, because even in the midst, as Debbie said, in the midst of my weakness, He makes me strong. My hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. My hope is in the promises of God. Changes the way I live my life. And then my prayer is that you let His love flow through you. That He is born in you so that He can love through you. So what are you going to do with Jesus after Christmas? What are you going to do with Him? My prayer is that He will just change your life and that you will become a change agent in the lives of other people. Let's bow in prayer.